Welcome to episode 4, Refusal of the Call. Subtitle, Avoidance Ain't Always a Good Idea. Thank you so much for listening. This is all about mindful storytelling, and we're mapping out the hero's journey that you may have heard about, but also mapping it onto ACT, Acceptance and Commitment Therapy, or Acceptance and Commitment Training. And from a therapeutic perspective, how can we use our understanding about the storytelling journey, the hero's journey, and help our clients and ourselves to lead more meaningful lives? So don't refuse our call for this episode. It's going to be a good one. Don't hack up on us. So what's this all about, refusal of the call? You know, looking from a perspective of a film like The Matrix, for example.
Yeah, refusal of the call is, we just before we spoke about Call to Adventure, right? So we know that this challenge has spurred us on to take some action. But then we have to decide, are we going to actually take that step? And so often there is resistance, there is fear. The size of the task might seem too great for our capabilities. Whatever it is that's going on for us inside, we have this resistance. It shows up in books and novels and shows up in film. And one of my favorite films of all time, we talk about a lot in our conversations, Lord of the Rings, when Gandalf gives him this mission and Frodo's like, I can't, I'm just a hobbit. He just resists this adventure. But for us, of course, in our lives, we have challenges, as you say, facing this thing of whatever it is we need to address, whether that's some kind of relational issue, trauma, or what have you. But it's not always a good thing, as you say. It ain't always a good idea.
And in the last episode, we discovered how these challenges can be external challenges, suddenly something we're facing, or it could be from some past trauma that's coming up and we're refusing to open up to it and feel those experiences because, understandably, out of fear, we think there was some harm will be done. But I'm just thinking myself, just back to my earlier days, and when I refused calls, I'm sure I've refused calls many times, but one that sticks in my head was when I first decided to become a school teacher. So I discovered mindfulness and I wanted to spread mindfulness all over and I wanted to start with children. So I decided to be a school teacher. And I remember doing the teacher training for a year and finding it really hard, just really struggling in the classroom, not really managing the classes that well, being judged by the trainers. And I was just thinking, the thoughts in my head were, you're not good enough. You're not good enough. This is not for you. Maybe you should be doing something else. And those thoughts became externalized. And that's what I shared with my teachers there. And I was ready to refuse the call for sure. I was not up for facing the challenges and all the feelings of stress and anxiety that came up for that. And it was only because of the support of, and we'll learn about this later on in episodes, the support of the mentor that I had there and the community that helped me to get through. And I was really pleased and felt really good when I did manage to do it. But the challenge was definitely there. And without the mentor support, the refusal of the call definitely would have happened.
Yeah, invariably these things all link, don't they? And that's the thing. But right now, you mentioned you had this stress and this anxiety at that time. And I guess there is a way of being able to accept the call. It's not avoiding this call to adventure. So let's hear what Dr. Mehrez Sharif has to say about the solution to that, to overcoming that anxiety and stress, as you say, to heeding the call.
We create our reality by our experiences, by our judgments, by our filters, by our biases. And that'll be different for all of us, but there will be a common ground that we meet somewhere. And often when we get to that kind of challenge or hardship, it's easy to step back and deny that it's happening or find a method of escapism, kind of divert our attention away from it and avoid it because your safety mechanism kicks in. You don't want to challenge yourself. You don't want to provoke anxiety and stress. It's harder to come out of that than to be in a particular situation. And often that leads to unwanted behaviours. And whether that presents in my GP work as anxiety or stress, or whether that presents in my coaching clientele, it's a case of being in that stuck place of not really knowing whether they want to move forward or to move back. And again, it's kind of reworking their circumstances and perhaps finding that acceptance of who they are, what the situation is, before they can move on.
Dr. Mehrez has just shared one of my favorite words and approaches there, acceptance. And it reminds me, I think this is a great moment to share a beautiful prayer. And you can think of it as a prayer if you're religious. You can think of it as a challenge or an intention. So the serenity prayer is to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And, you know, what we're saying in through this whole podcast series is that, you know, if we can change things, and if it's meaningful for us to take action to change things, then we need to have the skills and take the action to change things. But when we're talking about thoughts and when we're talking about feelings, we can't change them as easily as most people think. That's what the latest research is showing. You know, I could just say, stop thinking of flying pink elephants, and the harder you try, the more you'll think about them. So we have much less control of our inner, and the same with feelings. If you're feeling upset right now, and if I just told you to cheer up, it's not going to work. So our thoughts and feelings are much stickier than we think. And if we can bring a space, the inner spaciousness of acceptance, then they don't cause so many problems. We stop struggling with them and we start finding a bit more peace of mind by creating space from them.
I remember that serenity prayer from a very young age. It's the wisdom to know the difference sticks out too. There are things that we cannot change, and accepting that is also important, isn't it? That bloody metal pole in the ground is not moving. I can't move that right now, so I'm going to accept that.
Yeah.
I'm going to move around it.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the action that I can take to avoid tripping up on that, on the pavement, or whatever that metal pole represents for you in your life or in your client's life. You know, so often we have these challenges where people say, only if that thing wasn't there. And as Dr. Merish pointed out, that we try to escape in our minds from it and park it away. So I love, you know, this inner spaciousness, as you mentioned, being created, and that sense of feeling that we get with the acceptance.
Acceptance and commitment therapy is part of what is called the third wave of CBT. And what they've discovered in these latest therapeutic approaches is that we don't need to actually change the content of the thoughts or the feelings. In fact, it's our relationship to them that makes all the difference. And if you have a negative thought, it's not always a bad thing. If you've been drinking and you have a negative thought, no, if I drink, I'm going to get caught or I'm going to have an accident. That's a really good thing to have a negative thought in that moment. I can't drink and drive. It's not a good thing to do. So negative thinking isn't automatically bad. Sometimes it's helpful. And whether you have the negative thought or not, you can actually create a space between you and the thought. And that's what this is all about. Learning to create that inner space between you and the thoughts, between you and the sadness or the anxiety or the shame and all that, and to learn from it and grow from it. So avoidance becomes a real problem because you're, in a way, you're giving it more energy and your focus is on avoidance rather than your focus on meaning and purpose and values and the more meaningful things in life. We spoke to Marie Williams and she talks about avoidance and the problem of avoidance and how it links to things like guilt as well. So let's go over to Marie and see what she has to say about this.
So number one, I think because we run so much by our unconscious, I think it's kind of our unconscious avoiding them. And I think it does it because it's trying to protect us. Actually, if this causes you pain, let's just like not go there. So I always say to people, you're allowed to stop feeling guilty for all of like how your life has gone, but you do need to take responsibility if you want it to change. Because I think it's really important we let go of the guilt for the stuff that we've done. Because we're all doing our best, aren't we? All the time, we're doing our best. Even when we're failing terribly, we're doing our best to try to be better. I just think challenge is really crucial to us because if we're avoiding looking at ourselves, you just don't see it.
So we're hearing that we all experience refusal of the call. One of the questions coming to my mind, having just heard that, and especially the part about taking responsibility if we want it to change, that's an important element, I think, because it really puts the ownership on us. We have the power to step forward. The call has been made. We have the choice to step forward. And I know that choice plays a big part in ACT as well, Shamash, isn't that right? When you talk about that, there is a big element of choice. And also, there's some stuff around values as well. And so really being able to move forward then, after we've decided that we want to heed the call, so we've refused, we've had the resistance, then at some point there's a reconciliation. I want to move forward. We need to be able to help our clients move forward. We want to be able to move forward ourselves. So why don't we listen to what Dr. Vicky Barnes has to say about how positive psychology, which is something she focuses on in her work, helps us to move forward.
It's about encompassing all of your emotions. And I think different psychologists will work in different ways, but the way that I work, it would not be to delve in and focus on the negative emotion, no. So I think there are other psychological models that do that. So as a positive psychologist, I would recognize it's there and people can sit with it, but that's for them to do in their own time. If I'm doing some coaching or positive psychotherapy with somebody, it's very much about, what do you want to feel? Where do we want to go? How are we going to achieve the better outcome? What does your best look like, even though you're going through all of this? So in a session with somebody, I wouldn't sit and delve deeply into the traumatic negatives, because there are other models for that.
So in this positive psychology approach that Dr. Vicky Barnes takes, and many coaches and therapists, it focuses very much on the driver, what moves us forward. And that's a key part of the ACT model as well, clarifying your values and taking meaningful action every day and every moment if possible. So it's very much that driver. But together with that, we do need to make this inner space for the difficult emotions and thoughts to be there without feeling that they're a bad thing or there's something wrong with us. In fact, we learn from those emotions, we learn from those thoughts, and it gives us empathy so that we can connect with other people who are also going through that. We spoke to social entrepreneur Kush Kanodia, and he shares about his disability and very powerfully turning breakdown into breakthrough.
I think sometimes you can dwell in it. And I think that's what I was doing. In some way, you have the label disabled, you have the label victim, and you're kind of dwelling in that. So you're kind of, in some way, letting that manifest and be everything in life. Like there's this quote I read recently. It says that every challenge you encounter in life is a fork in the road. You have the choice to choose which way to go, backwards, forwards, breakdown or breakthrough. And that's basically what I think of kind of challenges. I think a lot of people are afraid to tackle the challenge due to failure and due to the complexity of the challenge. And our brains are kind of wired in such a way that we have a negativity bias. So when we scenario plan, we give greater weighting to the negative outcomes rather than maybe objectively looking and being comfortable with not knowing the outcome. I believe it's really helpful to look at challenges as like a puzzle to be solved and kind of consider it as a learning opportunity, not being too directly emotionally involved in the challenge or the attached outcome. This helps avoiding dealing with the challenge and overreacting to the challenge, but just considering it like a puzzle to be solved. So in some way, you're not in the puzzle, you're just dealing with a puzzle to be solved. So you're removing yourself from the puzzle. So that's kind of removing the emotions. And that's how I try to look at challenges. So you can keep trial and error, you can keep iterating, see what works, see what doesn't work. But if it doesn't work, it's not a disaster. It's just a puzzle that wasn't solved that time. You know, you'll try harder next time. Well, you'll find a different way next time.
Kush is always a ray of sunshine, isn't he? Now we're getting to know him. Now we're starting to understand his perspectives on his own hero's journey. Kush seems to do this thing where he turns these challenges into opportunity. And as he says, as a puzzle to be solved. And there's something quite playful around this idea of solving something, turn it into a puzzle. You know, I mean, when last did you play with a puzzle?
Actually, just a few days, yesterday and the day before, actually. Yeah, we were playing like a word game and it's fun.
Nice, nice. So there is a really important element here then of actually seeing the playful part of it to somehow turning your challenge into something lighter, something more. It's a reframing, isn't it?
It's interesting. I think it kind of triggers our curiosity part of our brain. So it's like, oh, this is interesting.
Yeah.
And so I think curiosity has got a totally different neuro pathway compared to an overwhelmed stress brain. So I think that's what the puzzle element helps with.
And it's also interesting too to really link that to, you know, what Dr. Wendy Malefi said when she talked about the small little things or small steps we can take to lighten our perspective on our areas of our life.
You know, life brings us challenges. Life is draining and depleting. We have all these responsibilities. We're parents, we're wives, we're husbands, and we're partners in all sorts of ways. So we have all these responsibilities and we're busy. And sometimes that cannot be helped. That's just the way life is. But when we don't have other aspects of decompressing, of lightening whatever life's throwing at you. It just becomes heavy all the time. It becomes a burden, and it becomes, then that's when the overwhelm comes, because you haven't got a means of nourishing yourself somehow or letting off the steam somehow. I do have vivid memories of driving to work, just rushing. But sometimes when I allowed myself to get engaged with the little conversations, the silly little conversations my kids would be having, I just felt so much lighter in those moments. And we would laugh and they'd tell me the silliest of things. And it just creates a completely different vibe. And I get to work not all wound up and just kind of dreading the day already. I'm just more relaxed. So it's all about balancing life, the depletingness of life, with nourishment in a whole manner of ways. And it's really in little things. When you are in the present moment, there'll be little things in that moment that will enable you to just see something that might just lighten the mood for you.
So we heard some wisdom from Dr. Wendy Malefi there. And she talks actually something around laughter and the lightening of the mood, which I think is quite fascinating, and how that links as well to talk about in the present moment being an important part of raising our level of energy, making us a bit happier, lightening things.
Exactly.
So this episode has really been an interesting one to reflect on, hasn't it, Shamash?
Yeah, I've loved it. This refusal of the call, it seems to be quite universal, and it's quite natural. It's understandable. If we don't know that avoidance can cause so much suffering, then, you know, if avoidance works in other things in life, if you don't like a smell or something, you avoid it, you walk away from it. But when you get that internal smell, which is the difficult thoughts, difficult sensations, the chronic pains, all these kinds of really hard experiences internally, people tell us that actually you need to open up to it. You need to allow it to be there, feel it, become curious, see it like a puzzle.
Responsibility as well.
Yeah, take responsibility rather than becoming a victim of this experience. How can you take a bit of responsibility for this and explore it in a different way? And that's the role of the client, the coach, the therapist with their clients, and for us to be responsible ourselves for these internal challenges that come up from us. And it's certainly not always easy, but this is the little steps. I love what Wendy said about it's these little steps that we can take, these little moments, they really do add up to make a big difference. And most times it's only little steps that we can take anyway.
Great. Yeah, looking forward to the next episode then, where once we've decided to heed the call to adventure, we've overcome that resistance. Now it's time to meet the mentor.
When the student's ready, Calvin appears. I'm excited about this. I'm ready for it. Where's my teacher? bring it on. So yeah, please leave us a review and send us a message if you enjoyed this. We'd love to hear from you, to let us know what you think. And see you next time, where we explore the whole role of meeting the mentor in the mindful storytelling journey. Thanks for listening.
See you next week.